at our table, one of the things that Nanya shared was about her words and how sometimes the enemy, or even just being confident in her work setting, maybe she's not confident with the words that she speaks out, but then when she's up here, the Lord uses her words. I mean, Sunday she had an amazing word from the Lord. Tonight she's speaking the Lord's words to us prophetically as she's singing, but also as she's just speaking. And so, you know, it just reminded me that each one of us spoke something out tonight. And those are the very places that the enemy comes in, and he wants to stop us and halt us and just stop us right there in our tracks. And so I just want to pray for each one of us. And so, Lord, right now we just lift up each woman in this room who has shared those places in her heart where she feels inadequate, or possibly stopped in her tracks, or maybe her identity in you is not secure in that area. Lord, I just pray for each woman in here that each thing that she shared tonight would be safe and secure in your arms, Lord. I pray against any work of the enemy in any one of their lives to come in and steal what God is doing. And so, and Lord, I pray that even out of the weaknesses and out of the things that we think are negative, Lord, you would bring abundance, that you would bring prosperity, that there would be ministries birthed out of areas where we feel lack, that there would be fruit produced in area. We would notice it today. Fruit would be produced in areas where we have seen death, or we life would grow in areas that have been barren. And so, Lord, we just speak those things right now, and we all come in agreement, and you know, reach out your hands and touch someone next to you and lay hands on them. Lord, right now, we come in agreement as sisters to stand with one another in these areas, encourage one another in these areas where we feel weak, that we would stand with one another and build one another up. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would fill each woman in this room, and they would be able to take steps of faith in those areas where they have felt weak or inadequate. And Lord, life would be produced. There would be great life and abundance and prosperity in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Did I cut your song off, or were you guys done? Okay, good. Well, I'm super excited to have Julie come up and share. So while the worship team's exiting, she will make her way up here. And I love this message, KISS. Keep it simple, not stupid. Sisters, keep it simple, sisters. And so she's going to share just something that the Lord put on her heart with us. And so, Julie Hydock, take it away.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Wow, that was some good worship, wasn't it? Woohoo! Awesome. All right. So, Meredith's a little shorter than I am, so I'm going to pull this up a little bit. You might have to push it back out. Well, that's about as far as it goes. Okay. Luckily, I'm getting older, so my near vision's what's going. Thanks. That's perfect. Thank you. Yeah, they're handing out some handouts. That's an outline. Normally, I don't do outlines because I'm a perfectionist, and it really bothers me if I don't fill in the blanks exactly as the speaker is giving the word. So have grace with yourself if you're filling this out, if that's a problem. This is just, there's a lot of, I am doing a bullet point list, and so there's a lot of things that I'm going to cover. So the Lord has really been impressing on me that we tend to overcomplicate things. Anybody relate to that? Specifically as it relates to our capacity to serve and minister to others and what our calling is. And why is this a problem, you may ask? Well, I'll tell you. Because by making things too complicated, it can prohibit us from stepping out now to serve Him. It can keep us from serving other people. And it can keep us from being a disciple of Jesus. We wait for our calling to be fulfilled, and we miss out on the simplicity of what the Lord is calling us to do right now. We wait for that ultimate opportunity, thinking that the Lord is calling us to something more. And we're missing opportunities right before our eyes to minister to others. I'm not saying that the Lord is not going to use your ministry or use you in a broader, larger capacity at some point. But where you think He's taking you might not be where you're actually going. So by waiting, you're maybe missing an opportunity that He's giving you. what you do now is training ground. He's preparing you. He's never going to send you someplace he hasn't prepared you for. So if you're not doing what he's called you to do now, then you're missing an opportunity to train yourself. And you can minister now while you're waiting. It's very simple. Two verses that I like that kind of sum this up are Micah 6:8. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Pretty simple, isn't it? At least in writing anyway. Matthew 22:37-40. Love the Lord God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments. So he's telling you right there, those are the basis for everything else. It really is that simple. By the way, I want you to know that simple, this is the first part of your outline, does not mean unimportant. Simple does not mean unimportant. Sometimes it is the simplest acts of kindness, love, and mercy that speak the loudest and best represent Jesus. Now, I don't think I'm going to tell you anything tonight that you've not heard before on some level. So if you're expecting something earth-shattering or some big, huge revelation, you're probably not going to get it. This is kind of, this is what I do. I'm an administrator. So this is a bullet point list of the things you can do to step out now and serve. And I do want to say, though, that I just love the Lord because he, time and time again, and I know he does this, but he always surprisingly blesses me by pulling everything together for me. We, as a ladies ministry team, meet in August to really set our schedule for the entire year. So I knew in August that I would be speaking tonight, and I knew generally what I was going to speak about, but that was pretty much all I had. In the fall, the Lord gave me Keep It Simple, Sister. All fall, that's what he told me. I didn't have much else. I just, okay, keep it simple, sister. So that's what I was focusing on. Well, then it turns out that Jim starts preaching a sermon series on, we're going to minister to them, and goes through and talks about what them are. Now he slips into James, which you don't get much more of a practical book on walking out what the Lord's asking you to do than James, at least not in the New Testament anyway. And my LifeLinks group started a book just January called The Prophetic Voice of God. It's teaching us how to hear from the Lord. And then my team at work, I have three ladies that work with me, and we did a Bible study in the fall, and we're doing one this spring. And the one in spring we're doing is on the book Everybody Always by Bob Goff, and I'm going to be referencing that later tonight. And it's just amazing to me how all of these things really are about the same thing and how we can step out and just very simply in a nutshell listen to God and do what he's asked us to do and minister to people and love people like Jesus did. It's that simple. So tonight I want to break it down into kind of just a simple list of some areas that you can work on to simplify your ministry and get started now serving the Lord. And I know you guys all serve. That's not really, I'm not talking about serving. I'm talking about feeling purposeful in your service. So, word of caution, whenever we present a list bulleted format, is that all you rule followers out there, anybody? You can get caught up in checking off the list. Oh, done that one. Oh, done that one too. Oh, haven't done that one. So that's not what we're going here for here tonight, okay? I want you to spend time with the Holy Spirit and the Lord. And we're actually going to take some time. We're going to have another song at the end so you can actually focus in on that. But I want you to let him tell you what of these things you need to work on. Be spirit-led in pursuit of service ministry. I also don't want to give you the impression that I've checked everything off the list because I certainly have not. The Lord and I are in our own dialogue about the things that I need to work on to continue to serve him and do it better. So number one, going to grow in your relationship with the Lord in order to know his truth. If you're going to be led by the Holy Spirit, then you must first know the Father and recognize his voice. So one is just growing in your relationship with the Lord and understanding who he is and how he speaks. In order to do that, A, is you need to spend time with him. You need to spend concentrated soaking time with him, but you also just spend time with him throughout your day. Have conversations with him. Think about him. Surround yourself with reminders of him, worship music, decor, post scripture verses, post-it notes, whatever you need to do. Just he needs to be ever present in your life so that he's always with you. B, read and study the Bible. Find a version that you like and it speaks to you. Also use a study guide to help you interpret the scriptures. There's a lot of versions that have the study note at the bottom. I myself have found that very helpful. I just wouldn't really encourage you. I think sometimes, myself included, we get caught up in doing Bible studies and we forget that we can study the Bible on our own, that the Lord has equipped us and given us what we need to understand the scriptures. And the more time you spend with him and the more you read the Bible, he's going to show you in the Bible what he wants you to know. So I'm not discounting Bible studies. I think they're valuable, but make sure you're not sacrificing your personal time with the Lord to do Bible studies. Worship, the C, worship and approach him with gratitude. D, pray for others and for yourself. E is attend church regularly. Am I going too fast, Renee? Okay. C, worship and approach him with gratitude. I'm going to find out who my rule followers are here. My think in the box people. D, pray for others and yourself. E, attend church regularly. Make it a priority. Don't let church be that thing you just let go because you're too busy. F, connect with your brothers and your sisters on a personal level by joining a Bible study or small group. So just connect with others. That's really that simple. Others of faith. G, keep the Sabbath holy. Sabbath in our case being Sunday. The reason I put this in there is I think it's really important, and it's a day that I struggle with myself. This is a day that has been set aside by the Lord to rest and commune with him, and I know this is challenging. I get it. I really do. I work all week. I have kids, so our nights are full. My weekends are the only time I have to catch up, only time I have to go to the grocery store. I went to the grocery store on Sunday this week, so I'm not saying I'm good at this. However, the importance of this time and keeping a day to set aside to the Lord cannot be understated. It's so important that the Lord made it the fourth commandment. This is a commandment, people. Keep the Sabbath holy. And he himself rested on the seventh day. If the one who doesn't need rest stops to rest, then think how much more you and I need this time to restore our souls. Yeah, right? The fourth commandment, which is found in Exodus 20, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Now, if Sunday's a work day for you, which I know it is for some, then pick another day. Or at least carve out some time on that day to spend resting and restoring your soul. And this isn't meant to be legalistic. Again, if the Lord is telling you this is something you need to work on, then work on it. I'm certainly not advocating that we should all just sit at home on Sundays and not do anything, because that's not realistic. But it might be what the Lord is asking you to do in this particular season. Okay, moving on to number 2. Eliminate distractions. A is to get healing for any wounds that are still festering. That's a fun word, isn't it? Get healing for any wounds that are still festering or bubbling under the surface. Yeah, vivid picture, isn't it? But it's true. They just kind of linger there. And if you don't heal them, just as you don't heal a sore, it's going to stay there forever and it's going to continue to get infected. That's just like the wounds of our heart and our soul that we have. You have got to get healing for those. It may require you to seek counseling, healing ministry, or just spend some intimate time with the Lord, acknowledging the wound, bringing it into the light and into the Father's presence, and letting him minister to you. B, repent to the Lord for your own actions and repair the relationships that are worth repairing. Let the Lord lead you and help you identify those relationships that he wants you to work on or to restore. And let me make this clear. Restoring does not necessarily mean going back to the way things were. So restoring is restoring the relationship the way God wants it to be. And it requires work, and it requires self-sacrifice, and it requires repentance. Not all the relationships in your life, friends, I'm not talking about spouses here necessarily, but not all the relationships in your life you need to invest time in. And the Lord will tell you which ones those are. So restoring is the little letter I there, or one, depending on if you're doing Roman numerals or not. Restoring, scripture that references that is Matthew 18:15. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. But if he will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. That's Matthew 18:15. So the first is you want to identify those relationships you need to work on, and then you work on them. Then you need to let him help you identify, this is little two, those that he wants you to set aside. Doesn't mean you have to necessarily abandon them altogether, but those that you need to table for a while. Especially if the other party is not willing to work on anything. It takes two. First and foremost, you need to forgive in that scenario. Don't let the seeds of bitterness sprout up and be allowed to root. Those seeds will eventually take over your heart, not leaving any space to love others. So forgiveness is key. And then you may need to set some boundaries in those relationships that allow you to preserve your health, honestly, your mental health, sometimes your physical safety, sometimes just your space, but you need to help set some boundaries that will help you move forward. And in both of those instances, you need to keep the Lord first and foremost. Your relationship needs to be the strongest with the Lord. Everything else will come after that. On to C, purge unhealthy activities and toxic relationships. Purge unhealthy activities and toxic relationships. The Lord has told us not to be of this world and that we need to be set apart for his work. So we have to live our lives in accordance with that. We can't be one with the world. We have to be distinguishable from the other people. So little one, take your actions and your thoughts captive and point them towards the Lord. You can't control what comes into your mind. You can't control what happens after that. So you have to work, and it's not easy, but you have to work on learning how to take those negative thoughts captive and turning your thoughts back towards the Lord. One of the things that Bob Goff says in his book, where we turn our heads is where we will land with our lives. That is how we're wired by God. Where we turn our heads is where we'll land with our lives. So we want to always be focusing on the Lord. Don't settle for what's popular or seek validation from the people around you. Jesus says the only opinion that ultimately matters. And this really touches on what we did in the first part of this activity for a lot of ladies, myself included. I know it came up at our table, and it sounds like it came up at other tables as well. Jesus loves you. And although we care in a fleshly perspective what other people think of us, it really doesn't matter. Because what we do is really, we're only responsible to the Lord at the end of the day. And that can cause great sorrow in the earthly world. I've been on that side of it, and I still struggle with that myself. And so I don't mean this to be light, because I know it's a huge struggle for women in general and for some of us. And so, but it really, that's not why we're here. And so Jesus, as long as we're following the Lord and doing what Jesus has asked us to do, it really doesn't matter what other people think of us. And I, like I said, I really got that sense when we were talking earlier. So I want y'all to hear that. Rule two, avoid a sinful life by staying away from the people that thrive on the sin they're in. Avoid a sinful life by staying away from the people that thrive on the sin they're in. And I'm sure when I said that, you probably, somebody you know popped into your head. It's very important you purge these activities and you avoid those people. But when you're thinking about this should be spirit-led. You shouldn't feel condemnation in your lifestyle choices. This is about conviction from the Lord. You know when you're not doing something you're supposed to be doing. And so let the Lord tell you what those activities are and who those people are that you should be purging out of your life. And by doing that, that doesn't mean you're judging sinners, or I'm telling you to avoid sinners in general, because we're all sinners and we're all battling sin every day. And you might at some point in your life be called to work specifically with people who live in sin. Or who have sinned, and by that I'm talking about, like, you know, their addictions or their, you know, criminals, whatever, people that have had that kind of sinful life. But I'm talking about now, as you're trying to find out what the Lord's called you to do, and to get moving in the right direction, you need to get rid of those people that are in your life that are negatively affecting you. People that, you know, visit bars all the time, people that gossip all the time, people that persuade you to make the wrong choices and act against the voice of God, people in toxic relationships. I mean, that can be just as draining as being in a toxic relationship yourself. If you have a friend who can never seem to find a decent relationship as going one, and they're coming to you all the time, that's very draining. People obviously involved in illegal or immoral activity that have no desire to stop. It's one thing to help someone who is living a sinful life and really wants to stop and do better. It's another thing to just be in a relationship with someone who they're going nowhere. That's just all they want to do with their life. And Jim talked about, actually yesterday, about the importance of avoiding temptation. And that's really what I'm talking about here. It's just keeping that out of your life. Because you're, as much as we want to be like Jesus, it's not as easy for us to avoid temptation as it is for Jesus. So, three, focus on activities and acts of service that are meaningful to you and allow you to grow in your relationship with the Lord and serve others. So focus is a key word there. Just focus on the activities and acts of service that are meaningful to you and that allow you to grow. So I'm not going to talk a lot about these because we've talked about these before in other areas, and there's a lot of resources you can use to find these. But A is identify your passion. And these are basically the activities that bring you life and make you excited, just talking about them. This is how God created you, to fire you up. What are some things that you could talk about for hours and hours with people, and what makes you tick? B is identify your gifts. God has gifted you with special talents and abilities, and he may be growing others in you. Figure out what those are and then ask God how you can use those to directly minister to or serve others. And desire gifts. It's okay to ask for gifts that you don't have right now. It's okay. He wants to give you those gifts. C, respect the season of life that you are in, but create margin or space in your life that gives you the time and energy to serve others. That's where that handout comes in that Chris was talking about earlier. The best gift you can give yourself is to learn how to say no, but not just no, not, well, no, I'd really love to, but, you know, I'm just really so busy, and oh my gosh, I just don't know. I can't fit one other thing in. No, you learn how to say no unapologetically and without wavering, And I'm not saying about saying no to everything. Just say no to the things that you know are not your thing or that you don't have time for. And don't apologize for it. Overcommitment is the weapon that the enemy uses. Being overcommitted wears us out. It keeps us from spending time with the Lord. And it prevents us from being effective servants for God or giving God the glory he deserves. Additionally, saying no sometimes gives others the opportunity to step up and help. So in case you need some help on learning how to say no, I'm presenting a little video to you that will give you some lingo to use.
Okay, ways to say no. There are a bunch of them. No thanks. I'm good.
Stand by. Technical difficulties. So a priest, a rabbi, and a... Just kidding. I don't know the rest of that joke.
Okay, ways to say no. There are a bunch of them. No thanks. I'm good. I'll pass. One of my personal favorites. For sure, no. I don't know if you knew this or not, but when you got saved, you got eternal life, forgiveness of sins, and access to a whole long list of ways to say no that'll make you sound like way more spiritual of a person than you actually are. I don't think it's God's will. It's just not his timing. I'm feeling led in a different direction. Let me talk to my pastor about that. It's a closed door. I'm waiting on the Lord right now.
I just don't feel peace about it right now.
God has a different assignment for me. I just didn't feel prompted. I just don't feel like that's something that Jesus would do. But I just feel like I'm not in that season anymore. Can you help me move this weekend? But normally I would, but I just feel like God is just telling me to rest right now. I just got a sense that it didn't line up. Right now I'm in a season of new wineskins. What does that even mean? I just feel like right now I'm in a season of creating margin, and I just don't have the bandwidth. Are you even speaking English right now? I was just asking if you wanted to get a pizza. Prompting. How many times have I told you about the prompting? I'm not feeling the prompting. I don't know. I'm just not really feeling the Spirit's leading on this one. You know what? I'm not sure. Let me lay out a fleece on that one. Okay, I don't think anyone says that. And of course, everybody's all-time favorite, let me pray about it. All I'm saying is, when it comes to Christian ways of saying no, just say no.
And see, the Lord brought that to me as well. I just heard that on the radio like a week and a half ago, and I thought, yes, that's perfect. All right, so number four, just love others. It's that simple, right? Well, this book will help you. It talks about loving all kinds of people, not just the ones that are easy to love. Bob says in his book, we make loving people a lot more complicated than Jesus did. He goes on to say, what I've come to realize is if I really want to meet Jesus, then I have to get a lot closer to the people he created. All of them, not just some of them. So reach out to the people you wouldn't normally reach out to. Let the Lord show you how to love them like Jesus would. And the book actually is a great book. If you haven't read it, I highly recommend it. I actually haven't read a whole lot of it yet, but just what I have read, it's very easy to read. It's entertaining. He's actually pretty funny. And the first chapter is about learning how to love creepy people. Now, who doesn't have creepy people in their life that we could love? All right, five. This should be the earth-shattering part, if there was one. Just get out there and do. A, walk in faith and trust that God has your back. Be brave. We sang about that tonight. In the book, he also talks about being safe, but not playing it safe. He says, playing it safe doesn't move us forward or help us grow. It just finds us where we are and leaves us in the same condition it found us in. God wants something different for us. So if we want our faith to get stronger, we have to take risks. We can't keep waiting for all the answers or for just one more confirmation. You should absolutely be safe, and you should absolutely ask the Lord for direction. Just don't get stuck. Bob Goff also says, the difference between a prudent pause and persistent paralysis is a distinction worth knowing. B, practice the spiritual disciplines and have a little grace for yourself as you walk them out. We have a merciful God. He already knows what he needs to help you with. But you can't expect to grow in a discipline if you don't practice. Yeah, it is, isn't it? Donna said that was disappointing. And if any of you, I think I've shared my personal testimony, and so if any of you have heard that before, I grew up in the Presbyterian Church, and it's a very liturgical service, meaning that everything is scripted. All the prayers are written down. The readings are, most of them are very responsive. And they believe in the Trinity, but the spirit part, the spirit-led part, is not as predominant in the Presbyterian Church. So I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know how to pray out loud. I mean, I prayed silently, but I didn't know how to pray out loud. But you can't learn how to pray out loud unless you pray out loud. So for all of those of you that don't feel comfortable, you'll never feel comfortable unless you try it and keep working on it. And starting with one person and just praying for them. And part of my issue was perfection and pride. What if I sound stupid? What if I don't sound spiritual enough? What if I'm praying for somebody who's way more spiritual than I am? That was my hang up. And so you have to figure out what your hang up is and then deal with it and just start praying out loud. This one, don't wait for perfection. It won't ever come. Just keep on using your gifts and practicing the disciplines and let God decide what he wants to do with it. Now, I will say there's a word of caution here. There are certain gifts that take more practice and come with greater responsibility. For example, sharing prophetic words with others. Now, I'm not talking about if the Lord prompts you to pray for someone or give them a word of encouragement, something like that. That's fine. No harm is going to come from that. If you tell someone, hey, the Lord wants me to tell you he loves you, there's no harm that's going to come from that. But if the Lord gives you a prophetic word for someone, meaning for them to go a certain direction in their life or just something you feel like that he wants to tell them that's heavier than that, you don't want to do that until you know that you are hearing from the Lord on a regular basis and that you hear his voice. And I would encourage you, if you feel like you have that gift and you want to start walking in that you find a mentor or someone who's done that before and talk to them about kind of how to walk that out. There are some prophecies that you get for people that you shouldn't share with them. And it's important to know those distinctions because it can actually do more harm than good. And so having an understanding of all that is very important in walking that gifting out. I've been the recipient of that, so that's why I say that. C, be bold about sharing your testimony. Again, Goff, he says, I know I'm quoting him a lot because he's really got a lot of good things to say. We're not held back by what we don't have, but by what we don't use. And this testimony is a big part of that. You don't have to stand on the street corner and scream it or share it publicly at the front of the church, but look for opportunities to share it one-on-one. And Christine talked about, you know, we're changing the format up a little bit. And that's one reason we are, is to give people an opportunity to share what the Lord's doing in their life. And a format that may be a little less intimidating for some people than standing up here. But why did God give you a testimony? Just so you could hold on to it? Tuck it away? No, he gave you a testimony so that you could share it with others, to bring him the glory and to be a witness to his salvation that he's given you and mercy and grace. And you're more likely to win others to the Lord by sharing your stories about your personal relationship with Jesus than by quoting the Bible or getting into a theological argument with someone. Don't do that. It doesn't usually end well. I've met some atheists that know the Bible is better than Christians do. And so nobody can argue with your personal testimony and your personal relationship with the Lord. How has Jesus changed you? In your heart and your life. And D, you don't have to do it all, just do something. The church is you and 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 you. and so on and so on and so on. It will not work without you. The church needs you. The church, and I'm talking about the collective church, I'm not talking about just New Life, but the collective church has a huge responsibility to represent Jesus in a world full of unhappy people searching for meaning, hope, and peace. And they're trying to do that in a world full of lies, darkness, and chaos. We, the church, need people who are different, who have different gifts, talents, and passions. We need people who have different testimonies and can share the love of Jesus in a way that no other person can. God created you wonderfully and uniquely for a purpose like no other. So get out there and go walk in it. It's that simple. So the worship team is going to come back up. And we're going to close with the last song. What I want you to do during this time is soak in the Lord's presence. If you don't want to sing, don't sing. If you want to sing, sing, great. But just soak in the Lord. Ask him how to help you move forward in whatever area of your life, service, and that's what we focused on tonight. But if you've got something going on in your life that you need to take care of, talk to the Lord about how you need to go forward and deal with that. Because we talked about getting rid of distractions. You're not going to be effective for the Lord if you're so distracted by something going on in your life that's the only thing you're focusing on. And we talked about it might not be the season to deal with that thing. You might have to table it and turn your attention to the Lord and let him deal with it. But focus on what he wants you to work on and ask him what it is in your life or what circumstance or what in you personally that's keeping you from serving or keeping you from moving forward. So you can come to the front, you can kneel where you are, stand, sit, walk around the room, whatever you want to do. But do whatever you need to in order to just soak in his presence. And then I'll have Meredith close in prayer when we're done with that. And we'll have the ministry team and everything up here if you want to come up and you need prayer for something specific. Father, thank you for this time tonight, and thank you for your presence, Lord, in our lives. Thank you for allowing us the opportunity to serve you. There's no one better to serve. Please be with us as we process what's going on in our heads, and as we try and think of that one thing that's holding us back from serving and from giving your love or showing your love to other people. Please speak that into our hearts tonight with conviction. I pray against the enemy. I pray that I'd just send him out of this building. If he was in here at all, Lord, just get rid of him. I just speak against him, speaking lies into these women's lives. Our Lord is love. Anything else is not from him. And so I pray that you seek the Lord with a tender heart, understanding the love that he has for you and allowing him to minister to you, allowing him to soak, just allowing him to just hold you in his arms and love on you.